This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Thursday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 391 and a quarter, down 3 3/4. July corn, 399 and a quarter, down 3 3/4. September corn, 406 and 3/4, down 3 1/2. May soybeans, 974 and a half, down 4 1/4. July soybeans, 978 and 3/4, down 3 3/4. August soybeans, 977 and 3/4, down 3 1/4. May wheat, 499 and a quarter, down 19 3/4. July wheat, 504 3/4, down 19. September wheat, 514 1/4, down 19. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices, they ended lower on Thursday afternoon. Technical selling and the South American harvest put minus signs on the Board of Trade on Thursday. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 2 to 4 cents at 365 to 386. Soybean bids 3 to 5 lower at 944 to 962. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 4 cents at 366 to 385. Soybean bids 4 cents lower at 951 to 975. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 2 to 4 cents at 375 to 392. Soybean bids 4 cents lower at 957 to 980. And the wheat bids dropped 19 to 20 cents at 412 to 470. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 4 cents lower at 978 to 992. Basis steady, range from 3 to 17 over the May. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $342.40 to $352.40. That's down $2.10 a ton, with basis steady, range from 20 to 30 over the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 1 to 4 cents lower at 386 to 397, with basis steady to 3 cents higher at 5 under to 6 over the May. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 3 to 4 lower at 382 to 390, with basis steady to a penny higher at 9 under to 1 under the May. Soybeans down 3 to 8 cents at 976 to 988. Basis ended mixed, range from 1 to 13 over the May. And new crop wheat bids on Thursday, 19 cents lower at $4.87 to $5 even, with basis steady at 18 to 5 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 3 to 4 lower at $4.02 to $4.03. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 1 to 4 cents, with quotations at $10.01 to $10.02. Soft red winter wheat, 19 to 20 lower at $4.99 to $5, and the Milo ended sharply lower on Thursday at $4.46 to $4.58. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from $3.70 up to $3.90. New crop soybean bids range from $9.01 up to $9.22. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from $3.70 up to $3.86. New crop soybeans range from $9.15 up to $9.35. And in the southern part of the state on Thursday, new crop corn bids range from $3.74 to $3.87. New crop bean bids $8.99 up to $9.26. And wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those range from $4.67 up to $4.93. That completes our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Thursday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, 161.67, down 5 cents. June live cattle, 152, down 37 cents. August live cattle, 149.05, down 55 cents. March feeder cattle, 217.45, down 25 cents. April feeder cattle, 217.22, down 2 cents. May feeder cattle, 215.77, down 20 cents. April lean hogs, 60.97, up $1.15. May lean hogs, 68.02, up $1.50. June lean hogs, 75.15, up 55 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday, the 26th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 24 cents lower in the range of $50 to $57.25, with the weighted average carcass price of $55.95. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading a dollar higher with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 32 to 37. 4 to 5 weights, 36 to 39. 5 to 6 weights, 37 to 41. And 6 weights and up, 40 to 43. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $34 to $41. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 12,784 head. And now for the report from the Schuyler Livestock Auction in Rushville. They had receipts of 601 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 160 to 166.50. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 145 to 150. And choice slaughter heifers, 158.75 to 165.25. They also had a nice set of feeder cattle in today, or yesterday, and starting with the feeder steers, large ones, 5 weights, 225 to 253, 6 weights, 200 to 229. Large steers, ones and twos, 5 weights were 250 to 277, and 6 weights, 220 to 248. On to heifers, medium and large, or large ones and twos, 5 weights were 230 to 253, and 6 weights were 191 to 215. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 291 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $67.25, and that was 43 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses, $2.50.67, that was 16 cents higher, with select carcasses at $2.46.96, that was 18 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was at 108,000, that compared to 103,000 last week and 116,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 432,000, that compared to 434,000 last week and 408,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two, where we'll hear about how the renewable fuel standard is affecting the biofuel industry. That's coming up after this. Ethanol production continues despite the fact that the renewable fuel standard has not been solved for almost a year and a half. But John Coppert, director of NSERC at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, says that does not tell the whole story about the state of the industry.
Investment in research, development, and especially deployment of new technologies, for all practical purposes, has come to a complete standstill since November of 2013. You have this policy unrest created by the EPA. Policy unrest leads to market uncertainty. And where there's market uncertainty, the private sector and the venture capitalist folks are not so willing to invest in these yet unproven technologies. We here at this Biofuels Research Center are gravely concerned from that side of the argument.
Coppert says some of the larger biofuels companies with an international footprint are already talking about the idea of projects and employment going overseas if the U.S. ethanol industry remains unstable. He adds that the amount of co-products that are coming from biofuels production indicate that the RFS is working as it was intended and should not be adjusted.
We have an enhanced and an improved distiller's grains. But in addition to that, at many plants we have corn oil. Sometimes that corn oil is being converted into biodiesel, a fourth project. And now we have a corn ethanol plant online here in the state of Illinois in which they're actually extracting a protein, a high-valued protein called zane. So look at what we've done in just half a decade. The biorefining concept, often discussed, today is a reality. We've got to keep that momentum moving forward.
Koppert says while new co-products continue to be developed, there needs to be an increase in ethanol usage. He says not only does E15 need to become part of the marketplace, it needs to do so in large volumes.
The production capacity is certainly there to meet that demand or potential demand. More importantly than that, the unbelievable yields of corn that we're producing now. Just this past year, 2014, largest corn crop in the history of this nation. The state of Illinois, we surpassed 200 bushels per acre average yields in the state of Illinois. Absolutely unheard of. There's no challenges whatsoever with meeting that market demand. We can do it. And we've proven through production that we can do it.
Koppert says for the nation to continue growing as an energy provider, it needs continued commitments to research and development. And eventually, the consumer will have to change the choices they make at the pump.
They must say no to this market manipulation that's going on and say yes to things like biofuels, saying yes to higher blends of ethanol. This will once and for all bring market stability, job creation, energy independence, and enhance our national security. We just have to be committed to it.
NSERC was established through the 2002 Farm Bill as the National Corn to Ethanol Research Center. It has since changed its name to NSERC to allow for a wider variety of ethanol research initiatives. March 31st, traders and farmers are likely to pay a great deal more attention to the number of soybean acres USDA expects will be planted this season than the number of soybean bushels left in the United States. However, as Todd Gleason reports, the stocks figure may hold some surprises.
Last December, the United States Department of Agriculture reported a surprisingly low grain stocks number for soybeans. The agency counts available bushels of most crops once a quarter, in December, March, June, and September. University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good says the December 1 soybean stocks number implied a record large residual use of soybeans during the first quarter, September through November period of the 2014-15 marketing year.
Some folks explain part of the large residual use with the observation that more soybeans were in transport on December 1 than in previous years. That is the explanation that was apparently favored by the market, as March 2015 soybean futures closed 36 cents lower on the day of the surprisingly small estimate. Another possible explanation for the large residual use of soybeans during the first quarter of the year is that the 2014 crop has been overestimated.
This argument might be supported by the higher-than-expected soybean prices this year, given the estimated size of the surplus projected to be generated by the large 2014 crop. In addition, basis levels have been really generally strong for most of the year. Basis is the difference between the price of a futures contract in Chicago and the local cash bid. USDA's March 1, 2015 estimate of soybean stocks may add some clarity to this debate, writes Darrell Good in his weekly outlook posted on the Farm Doc Daily website. Expectations for the magnitude of the March 1 stocks are based on the estimate of the December 1 stocks, imports during the quarter, and estimates of soybean consumption during the quarter.
If the size of the 2014 crop has been accurately estimated, the March 1 stocks estimate should imply a large negative seed and residual use of soybeans during the second quarter of the marketing year. That certainly was the case in previous years when residual use was large during the first quarter. A reasonable expectation this year might be about a negative 90 million bushels. A March 1 stocks estimate near 1.41 billion bushels would be consistent with the estimated size of the 2014 crop and known use of soybeans through February 2015.
Given this, if the USDA's grain stocks report shows something substantially different than 1.41 billion bushels on hand, then it should renew the debate over the size of last fall's soybean harvest. Such a debate, however, would not be resolved for another 6 months. The USDA's estimate of the crop size, that's frequently revised, but not until the release of the September 1 stocks estimate. It comes out on September the 30th this year. And Good says historically, implied seed and residual use of soybeans during the first half of the marketing year has not been a particularly good predictor of the size or direction of any subsequent change in the estimated size of the crop. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Illinois Department of Agriculture is now accepting proposals for federal specialty crop grants. The agency has been notified Illinois will receive more than $600,000 and is instructed to begin the proposal selection process. The funds will come from the Specialty Crop Block Grant Program in the Farm Bill. They are available for projects that solely enhance the competitiveness of Illinois-grown specialty crops in either domestic or foreign markets. The USDA's Ag Marketing Service defines specialty crops as fruits, vegetables, tree nuts, dried fruits, and horticulture and nursery crops, including floriculture. According to the 2012 Census of Agriculture, more than 106,000 acres of Illinois farmland are devoted to growing specialty crops on more than 3,200 farms. The IDOA will accept grant proposals until May 1st. Requests for proposal packets and additional information about the grant program can be found online at the department's website, www.agr.state.il.us. Or you can call 217-524-9129. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.